My sermon this morning is entitled Controlled Burns. Is that me? That's great. Controlled Burn. Before we get into it, let's pray, and then we'll study the Word together. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for your Word that helps to guide us in life, helps us to make wise decisions, helps us to be who you have called us to be. God, I ask that you would help us to apply the things that you would speak to us from today. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the primary functions, so I'm going to talk a little bit about nothing that has to do with Scripture, but it's going to tie into what I'm talking about later. One of the primary functions of the U.S. Forest Service, which is a big government agency, is to conduct what are called controlled burns. National Geographic describes it like this. Controlled burning, also known as prescribed burning, involves setting planned fires to maintain the health of a forest. These burns are scheduled for a time when the fire will not pose a threat to the public or to fire managers. In addition, forest conditions should call for a controlled burn, and weather conditions should be right to allow burning, but not to enable the fire to spread out of control. Materials burned in a planned fire are dead grass, fallen tree branches, dead trees, and thick undergrowth. Controlled burns are set for a variety of reasons. By ridding a forest of dead leaves, tree limbs, other debris, a prescribed burn can prevent a very destructive natural fire. A wildfire, things that ravage our nation on an annual basis anyway. One of the things that they do to protect against that is that they set very intentional fires, which doesn't seem logical. But if you can burn out what's there that shouldn't be in a controlled way, then when something naturally happens, it's not there to be consumed. Controlled burns can also reduce insect populations and destroy invasive plants. We're not thinking about it right now, but in the summertime, our area will be plagued by two very terrible insects. We get mosquitoes and mayflies, and those both really plague us for about 6 months. Not mayflies. They're only here for about a week and a half, really. But controlled burns can reduce all of that. They can destroy all of that. In addition, fire can be rejuvenating. It returns nutrients to the soil and the ashes of the vegetation that would otherwise take years to decompose. After a fire, the additional sunlight and open space in a forest can help young trees and other plants start to grow. Stuff that's supposed to be there can grow up and flourish. Some plants, such as certain pine trees, require fire before the cones containing the seeds can release the seeds. There's a resin inside the pine cone that has to be melted with fire before it will germinate. As a result, without fire, these species cannot reproduce. Controlled fires serve a multitude of purposes. Without controlled burns, fire still exists, but they are far more destructive. They are far less helpful. Instead of causing ecosystems to thrive, they destroy not only ecosystems, but economies. They kill us, cities, and people. When those small wildfires are suppressed, when they're immediately put out because we live there, the flammable materials keep accumulating. Insect infestations increase. Forests become more crowded with trees and underbrush, and invasive plant species move in. We have invasive plants here. The multifloral rose is not supposed to be here. Seems like I've got a lot of nonsense in my backyard that's not supposed to be there. I would like it to just be grass, something easy for Rollin to come and mow and run away. That's what I want. But there's a lot of nonsense back there. There are a number of tools that are used to create controlled burns. They have oil cans that they carry around that drip fire on the ground, which seems kind of crazy. To be carrying that. There are flamethrowers, which we're all kind of familiar with. And most recently, there's a drone, which is really cool. There's a drone that shoots a little plastic ball that has two chemicals inside of it that when it hits the ground, it catches fire. They call them dragon eggs. It's incredible. Studying this out was way too much fun for me, okay? I had a lot of fun looking at and watching these drones just shoot fireballs into nonsense. That should not be happening with a drone. And also, where can you buy one? Because that, it would be a lot of fun. The point of all of this, though, is that everything is done with a very specific, very planned, very controlled purpose. And because of that, the benefits are enormous. Without that sort of disciplined control, there is chaos. Fire is still necessary. It's still fire. Fire that destroys and consumes. It's still fire. But it's incredibly beneficial. Without that sort of disciplined control, there is chaos. This morning, we are 1 week into the new year. Each new year brings with it a point of renewal in every aspect of our lives. It brings us to a point where we can say, hey, I want to start new in these things. This is when diets start. Anybody in here start a diet for the new year? Good. Anybody start a new book reading plan? I'm going to read 30 books or 40 books or whatever. Does it count if you've already started the books? Does that count? Okay, yeah. You just got to finish them, right? Some of us are planning to finish projects. We painted our house, but if you go down the stairs, the window on the stairs still has the paper and tape covering the top half of the window because we couldn't reach it. New Year's resolution for me, sometime in the next 12 months, I want to get a ladder in the house and take that paper down. If you come over and want to take care of that, that would be great. Anybody is welcome to do that. Ladder is in the shed. This is the time where we begin something new. As Christians, it's a time for us to start new by adding spiritual disciplines into our daily lives. So we talked about like some physical things, some natural things, diets and book reading and all that stuff. But as Christians, we like to get really excited. Hey, I'm going to read the Bible through in a year. I'm going to do something grandiose. Tomorrow, as I mentioned earlier, starts 21 days of prayer and fasting for us as a church, as a denomination. It's not just us. We're not just doing this on our own. The Fort Madison Church is starting today for some ungodly reason. I don't know why you would start that on a Sunday, but they're starting on a Sunday. I think it just works better for them. But we're not doing that today. In our house, we're going to have ice cream cake today. We're going to celebrate Elaine and Eden's birthdays. We're going to do all that stuff. But as Christians, we go through that process too. Some of us say we believe in Jesus, and we're going to increase the things that we do to celebrate him in our daily lives by adding new spiritual disciplines. And we need that. Because as we go, some of us that say that we believe in Jesus would say, hey, I go to church, but our at-home life is totally vacant of any effort to grow closer to him. Some of us make a small amount of effort. We read the verse of the day. Everybody's got the Bible app. You get a verse of the day. It's really nice. I got a new phone, so now mine comes in at like 1:30 in the afternoon, which is weird. But it's nice. That's one thing that we do. We pray once in a while, and so we say, hey, I make a small amount of effort. Some of us think that we've got it all figured out. You're praying all day long. You've got your radio on Lift FM or K-Love or whatever, or bot radio. Got in the truck with Robert the other day. That's what he's got going on. If you want to listen to old guys preaching, that's the radio station for that. You're running backdoor small groups in your basement and teaching people about Jesus. Those are all different stages in our lives. Some of us don't even maybe know that. We can be at these different places. But all of us could benefit from some controlled burning. Some controlled fire starting in our lives. Some very intentional, very strategic, and maybe very chaotic discipline. Some training. Some increase in righteousness. Our claim to be Christian designates us as a disciple of Christ, meaning that we discipline ourselves to be like him. Tomorrow as a church, we start 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I'm going to keep mentioning that because that's a big deal. That's a big spiritual discipline that we're going to jump into. It's a season of discipline, a controlled fire that changes everything. And I want to say this, if you want to see your life change, start some controlled fire in your world. Start controlled fire in your life. If you want to see your physical health increase, start a fire there. You want to see your spiritual health increase, start a fire there. If you want to hear the Lord more clearly, start some controlled fires in your life. If you want this year to be different, start some controlled fire in your life. There's a quote by Don Whitney included in those slides, Marla. Don Whitney was the author of Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life. And he says, maybe it's not in the slides. He said this, he said, spiritual disciplines are practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not even moving. What is happening? They are habits of devotion, habits of experiential Christianity that have been practiced by God's people since biblical times. That's what a spiritual discipline is. It's a practice found in Scripture that promotes spiritual growth among believers in the gospel. It promotes growth in the gospel. It's been practiced by God's people since biblical times. It's been practiced for a long time. We're not making anything up new. This isn't a new fad diet. It's not the newest Atkins, keto, paleo, any of that stuff. It's not that. This is stuff that has been tried and true over generations and millennia. There are a few passages of Scripture this morning that I want to read before I go any further, because I will be reflecting on them and referencing them often throughout the rest of my message. The first is 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. But have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, train yourself in godliness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11 says, no discipline seems enjoyable at this time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the most peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27 says, don't you know that the runners in the stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you win the prize. Now, everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we and an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I will myself not be disqualified. Spiritual disciplines are things that we do to grow. It's stuff that we do, we add to our lives as controlled fires that we set in different areas so that we can flourish. Spiritual disciplines are fires that we set. They are fires set on purpose, and they are fires set for purpose. First thing we need to know about spiritual disciplines is that in these passages, we see that they are something that we have to add to our lives. It's something that we have to do. It's an incredible thing about Scripture. Anytime it says something in Scripture that we need to do, or it gives you an instruction to do, that's something that you actually have to do. You have to partake in it. It is not something that you're just going to get automatically. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not a mindset. It's an action. If there is an instruction in Scripture, a passage that says do this or do it this way, that is something that we have to have an active part in the actual doing of the thing. I know this sounds crazy, but Christianity is not the Matrix. Everybody seen that movie from 30 years ago or so? It's not the Matrix. We don't just get to download things, insert the floppy disk, and have the cord in the back of our head and say, hey, I know Kung Fu. It doesn't work that way. We train ourselves. That's why it says in each of these passages, train, train, train. Have nothing to do with silly myths, but train yourself. Spiritual disciplines are activities. They are not attributes. They are not attitudes. They are not mindsets or thought processes. They are practices. Spiritual disciplines are things that you do, not character qualities. They are not graces. They are not the fruit of the Spirit. They are things that you have to actively do. You read the Bible. That's something that you do. It's a spiritual discipline. You meditate on Scripture. That's something that you do. You pray, you fast, you worship, you serve, you learn, you give, and so forth. Those are activities that we do. And as we increase those or do them more intentionally, we set little controlled fires to burn in our lives, to change who we are, to allow us to flourish. If you want a different year this year, set some fires. Have some disciplines. Controlled and chaotic. You show the quote by John Newman, please. I think it. John Henry Newman was a theologian from like 600 years ago. He said, "To take up the cross of Christ is no great action done once for all. It consists in the continual practice of small duties which are distasteful to us." That's what it means to be a believer. To take up the cross of Christ is no great action done once and for all. It consists of the continual practice of small duties that we don't like. To be a Christian is eating lima beans and broccoli every day without the cheddar cheese dip, without the whatever you, without Ross cooking it. You didn't get to smoke it or make it taste good. You just got to eat it. It's a continual practice of small duties which we don't like. That's spiritual discipline. It's fires that we set. Something that we have to do. Not just a one-time decision. It's not a mindset. Not a fruit of the Spirit. It's action. Next thing is that they're fires that we set on purpose. Spiritual disciplines are not accidental, unfortunately. There are a lot of things in our lives that are accidental where, hey, we just kind of ended up this way. But nobody ends up a better Christian accidentally. We don't wake up in the morning and suddenly say, you know what? Today I'm going to read some Bible and meditate on what I read. And then accidentally do that every day for the next 6 to 9 months. It doesn't happen. It's a fire that we set on purpose. We make a plan. We lay out the fields of our lives and say, okay, this is an area that I really need to work on and grow in. I need discipline here. And so we set a fire there. We set a fire in this area and say, this is it. I'm going to take care of it. It's a fire that we set on purpose. We make a plan. And we execute it. We make sure all of the elements are right, and we do it. Very intentionally, very strategically. It's also not just doing whatever you want and calling it a spiritual discipline. Not everything is a spiritual discipline. You can't just walk through life and say, you know what's a good spiritual discipline today? Tying my shoes. That's a good spiritual discipline. I'm going to do that. Those of you who have known me for a while know that that's not something that I partake in on a regular basis. You can't say video games are a spiritual discipline. It's just not. Gardening is not a spiritual discipline. It's fun. It's a fun thing to do. But it's not a spiritual discipline. Cooking, not a spiritual discipline. Can you pray while you cook? Sure. Can you grow while you cook? Sure. But cooking in itself does not promote spiritual growth. There are specific things outlined in Scripture that we are given and shown that caused the increase that we know we need. The reality is, you don't know what's best for you. God set out a fire plan for your life. He gave a set of points to really dive into those things that he knows will cause righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is an example of that. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness." Scripture is one of the things that God says, hey, this is what I've given you. You study this, you grow. Verse 17 goes on to say, so that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. What do you need to be equipped for every good work? You need the word. So whatever else a person might claim regarding the spiritual benefits of a practice that's not in the Bible, such as gardening, video games, sports, exercise, certain stretches, something that may be promoted by some other spiritual cause or spiritual group or spiritual leader, that if you'll do this or that, you'll experience God. It'll be very meaningful, regardless of the benefit that someone may claim accrues from to them from that. At the very least, we can say it's not necessary. You don't have to have it. I'm not going to argue with every theologian and spiritual leader in the world and say, hey, they're stupid, that's not right, because that's not found in Scripture. But I will say that it's not laid out as something you have to do. The manufacturer gave us some instructions. He knows us best. He knows when we need an oil change. When you go to your doctor and say, hey, doc, I really need to do something about my back. It's in a lot of pain, causing me a lot of issues. And they tell you to do specific stretches. They say, take some specific medicine. And there might be a surgery. What do? You do the things that you're told to do. The things that you were instructed to do. Because you know it'll help. You don't invent your own treatment. Let me rephrase that. You should not invent your own treatment. Some of us decide, hey, I know better than the doctor. That doctor's just a quack. Anybody heard a doctor called a quack? Any of you called a doctor a quack? We don't come back to the doctor a few days later and say, hey, doc, the back's all better. All I needed was a Band-Aid on my thumb. Band-Aid on my thumb healed my back. I don't need you. That's silly. You don't do that. Two of those passages that I mentioned earlier, the passage in Timothy and Corinthians, describe some worthless endeavors that we might pursue instead of true discipline, like punching the air. See, kids do that a lot. They get really upset and they're punching the air. It doesn't help anything. Silly myths. Things that waste our time. He said, don't have any part in that. Don't waste your time in those things. Spiritual disciplines are fires that we set on purpose, following instructions that we are given. And lastly, they are fires that we set for a purpose. 1 Timothy 4:7 again tells us that we are training ourselves for the purpose of godliness. We don't set fires just because we think it would be fun. It's not fun in this case. John Henry said that it is something that is distasteful to us, that we do not enjoy on a regular basis. It's not a fun thing to do. Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline seems enjoyable at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. We lift heavy things now so that we can lift heavy things later. That's the purpose of a gym. You go to a gym, you pick up heavy stuff so that in real life, when you see heavy stuff, you can pick it up and impress people. Look at this heavy thing I can lift up all by myself. You run faster and faster and faster so that you can run fast. That's the whole purpose of it. Ask my kids. Look at how fast I can run. That's why they're running, so they can get faster. We don't set fires just because we want to. We set them so that we can grow. The controlled fires that the National Forest Service starts are set very, very intentionally to cause very specific things. We set fires on purpose as we go through spiritual disciplines, as we go through things that we want to make changes in our lives. We do things like we fast. We dedicate a time to God where we say, hey, I don't want this in my life. I want this instead. It's very intentional and it's for a reason. And that reason is to grow. We don't read the Bible just so that we can say, hey, I read a book written by old dead guys. We read it because we have an understanding of what that causes in our lives. And we muscle through it, even when we don't want to, for the purpose of growth. I need this today. I need this today. We pray because we know that we need it. We give because we know that we need to do that. It's all part of a process of fires that we set on purpose. Fires that we set very intentionally. So we have three things that we can attribute to this. We can say, hey, I've learned something today. If I'm going to add discipline to my life, it looks like this. I'm going to add discipline, and that's going to be a fire that I set, and that fire is an action. Fire is an action. It's something that I actually have to do. That fire is set on purpose. It's something that I'm doing very intentionally. And lastly, it's something that we set for a reason. Can you pull up that next quote, Marla? That reason is for righteousness. Richard Baxter, another 400-year-old guy, I pulled out a lot of those this morning, said, hard studies, much knowledge, and excellent preaching are but glorious and hypocritical sinning if the end be not right. What does he mean by that? He means that we can go through all of these things, and if we don't have the right purpose in mind, they end up themselves being nonsense and even sinful. The Pharisees struggled with that. The Pharisees struggled with that existence. That was a group of people in Jesus' time that really decided that they were going to be more righteous than everyone else and go through all of the rules and do all the things and live a certain way, but only for their own good. The fires that we set for purpose, and that purpose is godliness. That purpose is righteousness. That purpose is God's glory. Hard studies, much knowledge, and excellent preaching are but glorious and hypocritical sinning if the end not be right. Let's not waste our time. Can't waste time just doing the things if it's not for a reason. 1 Timothy 4:7 again tells us that we're training ourselves for the purpose of godliness. That's where we are today. As we go into tomorrow, we start 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church, as a denomination, with the intention of growing closer to God. So each one of us, I encourage you to participate if you can, if your health allows it. If it's not a food thing, it's a different thing. Something in your life that you rely on, I encourage you in the next 21 days, pick something and say, God, I'm going without this for 21 days. I don't need it. And in place of that, we're going to take that time and be very intentional about adding spiritual discipline. I'm going to read my Bible, but there's passages of scripture in that pamphlet. I'm going to go through and study and do the things. And I'm going to pray. I'm really going to pray. I'm going to take that time where I would be drinking coffee, where I would be eating chocolate, where I would be doing the whatever. Anybody getting rid of anything interesting this year? Rick said he's not going to go to work for 21 days. Mark is also signing up for that plan. Yeah, all of us, a 21-day vacation. Religious exemption. I'll write the letter and see how it goes for everybody. We start 21 days of prayer and fasting. That starts tomorrow. Are we ready? Are we ready to add discipline? Are we ready to add godliness, to increase in righteousness? Are we ready? We're going to do that together. She's ready. Amen. We have yet a few minutes before we're going to have lunch. Before anybody takes off out of this room, I do want you to grab those pamphlets in the back, because we are going to go into a time of prayer and fasting. Like I said, it's a great day to have a holiday meal, because I think Marla brought some pie. I know that there are cookies in there. There's cake in there. There's good things in there. We're going to celebrate all of that together. Ross, are you mostly ready in there? Ready? Good. We're going to enjoy lunch together. I hope you can all stick around for that. And then tomorrow starts discipline. Set controlled fires in your life. If you want change, if you want different, if you want growth, burn it all down on purpose. Okay? Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we've been able to be together. Thank you for the food that has been prepared for us, the hands that have gone into that, the finances, everything that has been given towards that. God, we thank you for just the ability to be together this morning as a family. Thank you for good food. Thank you for fellowship. God, I ask that you would just be with us as we go about the rest of our day. God, I ask that you would pour out blessings on each one of these people that are here. I ask that you'd give them peace in their homes. Help them to be in a time of restoration, recovery. Help us to set fires. God, we give you praise for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.